God. You could be seated this morning. I'm just going to say, I sound really loud this morning. I don't know how I am out there, but I sound really loud up here. Could be just because I've coughed and sneezed so much that I'm all messed up. We started a series on Wednesday evening, and we titled this series Coasting, Coping, or Conquering. And we're going to finish it up tonight. And every year, for the last number of years, I've just kind of had this a year-end type evaluation, if I could call it that. And we evaluate ourselves as individuals, evaluate ourselves as a church. What I want to do is kind of pick up where we left off last Wednesday evening, and I'm going to kind of end or start where we ended with. So those of you that were here on Wednesday, there'll be a few moments here that are going to be a repetition, I guess, the same, repeating. You ever have problems just thinking of words? I don't know what it's been lately. I don't know if I'm just the only one that's this is happening to, but I don't know if it's the cold weather, just brain freeze, but I eat ice cream and it doesn't affect me, so I don't know about that. Hey, we had a great time at Culver's, by the way. We had an open invitation Sunday night or Wednesday night after service, and I think we had about 33, 34 kids take advantage of that. I told anyone that would come to Culver's that Sister Lois and I, we would get them ice cream for the kids, 14 and under, and a lot of you showed up. We pretty much filled the whole Culver's restaurant, so it was pretty awesome. But that offer expired, though. I just want to let you know that doesn't work this morning, and it's not going to. Tonight it's pizza. All of you can eat pizza, okay? All right, so we finished off. And we're going to just kind of get into this morning, and we'll finish this tonight and weave it into our communion service. But it was 1519 that the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortez led an expedition of 600 men to conquer southern Mexico. And one by one, he had 11 ships, and he began to take and scuttle these ships, and he sunk them until there was one ship left. And when his men found out, they loudly rebuked their leader, and he said, what are we going to do? This is our only route home. This is our only way of escape. And he asked his men what kind of man would need ships, except they'd be cowards. He said, if any man was so cowardly, he could board the last ship and leave. Cheers began to drown out the complaints, and then he suggested that they sink the last ship. By that single action, he committed himself and his force to either succeed or to die trying, for they had nothing to go back to. When we look at where we are today, this is New Year's Eve. We are within a few short hours of stepping into 2018. Now, it's hard for me to believe, Brother Hawk, that we're already at 2018, because 2017 went by so very, very quickly. But one thing that we have to understand, as we look back over our year, we cannot undo a single action that we have made. We cannot take back any of the words that maybe we spoke in anger. We can't take back those words. Once they are said, they are said. And once they are received into another person's life, they are received. And before us is a new year, and this new year is full of hope, it's full of promise, if we so desire it to be. Now, we talked about sowing seeds of success. We looked back over the past year, and what does it take to be successful in the kingdom of God? And so we have to ask ourselves, what do I have to do here this morning? What do I have to change in my life if I'm going to expect 2018 to be more successful or a better year than 2017. There has to be something internally in our hearts and in our minds that says, I have to make a change. Now, we're going to be going into a fast here after the first full week of January is over. We're going to let you kind of relax a little bit and such from all of the Christmas cookies and peanut brittle and all of those turkeys and all of that stuff that we love to eat over Christmas time. So we're going to have a week here, and then next Sunday evening at midnight we go on a 21-day fast. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm already thinking about that 21 days. I've been thinking about that 21 days since I put this on the calendar back in October, and thinking, boy, 21 days is a very long time if you're not eating any food. It goes really fast if you're on a cruise and you're in the Caribbean and days fly by. Isn't it so funny how sometimes time drags by and sometimes time flies by? So here we're looking at all of this, and we begin to think, you know, what am I going to have to change? What am I going to have to do if I want to be successful in this? So we have to look at where we are, and we have to look at our life, and we have to say, okay, if I have this dream, I have this vision for my life in 2018, I want to ask you here the same question we proposed on Wednesday night. Who is providing your vision? Is this something that is a God thing? Is it something that maybe you, husband and wife, sat down and decided to change some things in your life? Who's providing this vision? And we went into referencing a story that we find in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You don't have to look that up. I'm just going to reference this. It's a story that we know so very well of David and Goliath. How many of you have never heard the story? I don't want to embarrass anyone. How many of you have never heard the story of David and Goliath? Okay, so pretty much everybody's heard the story of David and Goliath. As far as anyone could see, when you think of this, David was absolutely nothing compared to Goliath. The giant mocked this young man who came out to face him in battle. He met David with scorn. He threatened to tear him apart limb by limb and feed his carcass to the birds. He said, what are you out here to intimidate me, to laugh at me? Are you out here to mock me? Because you're just a boy. You're just a young lad. But David, however, proved that day for once and for all of us that would follow, because you see, this isn't just a story about a young lad killing a giant. This is a story that we can take and we can apply into our lives today. David proved that day that age is really nothing but a number. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, if God is calling you into a calling in your life and God is stepping in and is desiring for you to move on and move up, it doesn't matter if you're 14 or if you're 84 or 94, if you're still breathing, you have a purpose. So David proved that age is nothing but a number, and when he took out that giant Philistine warrior that day with just a sling and a stone, he provides a profound example of someone who refused to coast in there. He could have coasted through that event. He didn't have to do what he did. But he proved to us as an example of someone who refused to coast in their life, someone who refused to cope with the enemy taunting them day after day, and they decided that he was going to do something about it, and he became a conqueror. So purposeful people don't worry about what the world says about them. They know exactly who and what they are in Christ Jesus. And this past year, we spoke of vision quite a bit. We spoke about purpose. We spoke about plan and about finding God's will for our lives. But in all of this, we still have doubts. We still have fears. And just as Saul, as David came to Saul and says, I will fight the giant, there will be people in your life who will try to tie you down to their level of limitations. Did you hear what I just said there? When God is calling you and God is pulling you into a higher purpose in your life, there will always be people who try to tie you down to their level of limitations. This is exactly what Saul was attempting to do. The devil is working overtime to brainwash you with the worldly ideas of who you are supposed to be. They plant seeds of self-destruction into our minds and hearts, and we begin to doubt our own abilities. Saul says to David in 1 Samuel 17:33, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." You're a kid. You're just a kid. You're not able to go. This man has been a man of war from his youth. So here Saul is telling David that you can't do this. You don't have what it takes to do this. You're just a boy. Saul doubted David's ability to fight. So who are you listening to? Who is speaking into your life? Who are you allowing in this media culture-driven world that we live in? I've done lots of reading and such on just how social media is shaping how the world thinks. You think about it, there's 7 billion people on the planet. 1 billion of those 7 billion are Facebook users, and Facebook is nothing more than a way for whoever desires to manipulate can manipulate. And they can take and they can take and tell you what to think. Tell you what to think. Our media today likes to tell us what we think. I didn't realize this until I saw this with my own eyes, that when newspapers put out major articles, they will print different articles at different slants depending upon where it's going in the country. Kind of makes you wonder why they would do that. It's because at one part of the country, they want you to try to think one way, and another part, they want you to try to think another way. So who are you letting do your thinking? If you allow someone else into your life to control your thinking, then they, in essence, are controlling you. Has your spirit been broken? Perhaps you sit here today and it's been a rough life for you, not just a bad year, but a rough life with abuse or continual struggling with the same sin over and over, depression or oppression. Are you living in a constant state of frustration? I'm amazed at how many people that I talk to, and if you're not careful, this level of frustration that's on someone else can become a frustration to you as well. Are your friends dictating who you are, or are you listening to God when it comes to who and whose you are? You see, we have a royal heritage. We are children of the Most High God, and it is His royal blood that flows through our veins. We read in John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." So as we move on into the new territory this morning, what will make this year different for you than last year? What are you going to do different? I started to put some things down, some things that we've talked about over the course of the year, and David showed us that victory begins with an unwavering reliance upon God and a commitment to do His will regardless of the cost or the consequences. So I want to ask you, how devoted are you? How devoted are you to this? How devoted are you to living a life of a Christian? When you look at David and you begin to think about this, and I think about this a lot, what would have happened if David had failed? Think about this. What are the consequences in your life if you failed? Now, all of Israel, understand, would have become slaves to the Philistines, because that was the agreement. If David slew Goliath, then all of the Philistines would become slaves to the Israelites. But if Goliath slew David, then that simply means that all of Israel would become enslaved to the Philistines. David would lose his life. You say, well, you know, it's just one life. But you see, David had been anointed to be king over Israel. Israel would not only go into bondage, but they would lose their anointed future king. David is also mentioned in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So the very lineage of Christ himself would have been altered. We read in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I like Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. You see, we need to take and reach a higher level of devotion. Understand something. When I say a higher level of devotion, a lot of times people automatically equate in their lives that, well, the pastor's calling us to a deeper level of consecration. He's calling us to a deeper level of commitment. So what more are we going to have to fit into our schedule? I said Wednesday night that you can be very busy but not very productive. And we live in a world that's just like totally out of control busy. But are we really being productive in all of that busyness? There have been times in my life I've been so busy, but I haven't really, at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot to show for it. So we also need discipline. Discipline. This is something we like to tell our children about, but we don't like anybody to tell us about. Discipline. Some of the most, we'll just leave it at that. Discipline. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. We are urged with purpose. Christians with purpose. We need to exercise self-control. We need to keep our carnal urges in check so that God can work his will. I just want to interject this. Sometimes we really have a struggle with our flesh. And we wonder why God won't use us at the level that we may feel that we deserve to be used at. Does that make sense? So we feel that we've been here for so many years and we've accomplished so much, so God ought to be, I at least should have some tenure with God. So, God, how come when we talk about discipline and we talk about commitment and devotion and all this, how come I get overlooked on things, and how come I'm not getting what I feel I deserve? Well, if you're thinking that very thought, to think about this now, okay? If you're thinking that very thought, is probably the reason why you're not where you should be or where you could be. Because it starts to tell me and it starts to tell God that you're putting yourself first. You got some pride issues. The flesh loves to be noticed. I don't know if you've figured that out or not. The flesh craves to be given high accolades. There's nothing wrong with patting somebody on the back and say you did a great job. It's when that person says, oh, I know, Pastor. I always do a good job. Then it's like, okay. You see, it's not always easy. Discipline. And it's usually those that have the discipline that they need in their lives are the ones that God, for whatever crazy reason, decides to use. Just think about that for a moment, okay? Discipline. This is a sacrifice that we have to make if we're going to be successful in 2018. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. If I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Here Paul is saying, listen, we got to run this race. We're in this race, this whole passage that Paul is talking about. He's talking about running a race. And I got to run this race. This is a fight. We're in a battle here, church. And I've said this so many times. You're in a battle, spiritual battle, whether you want to be in it or not. You don't have an option in this. This thing was settled back at the beginning of time when Adam and Eve sinned. And sin entered into the world. We entered into this race. Another thing that we need going into this year is we need a higher level of diligence. The committed life of faith that the Lord rewards involves hard work. It takes a steadfast spirit of perseverance. We can't be quitters when things get tough. We have to push on. We have to complete the task that is before us. And we Christians, when I look at Christians that have purpose in their life, they're not lazy people. You got a purpose. You got a vision. You know where you're going. They're not lazy. They're not listless. They're not lethargic. They don't just sit around and veg out and play video games all night long. I love what Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Some of us really go way out of our way to try to avoid this. Whatever thy hand findeth to do. That means if you're in a fellowship hall after church stacking chairs, that what this passage is telling me that I need to take and I need to do it with all my might. Does that mean I got to throw chairs halfway across the fellowship hall? That's not what it's talking about. It's saying, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to put everything I've got into it. That's why I have a train set in my basement that's bigger than, it's a railroad empire. Because everything I seem to do just ends up that way. My wife's on me all the time. You know, you've got enough food. There's only six of us coming. Well, I know, but, you know, man, I love to cook. I love food. How many of you, food has got me to where I'm at today. I don't know about the rest of you, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for food. That's why whatever thy hand findeth to do, if it's a cheeseburger, it's going to be a cheeseburger deluxe, man. I'm trying to get Culver some business this morning. No device or no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. You see, we need to move on in diligence. We need to move faithfully and fearlessly towards our vision, just like David did. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 17 again, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. I don't know about you, but when that man stood up, and he was some 10, 11 feet tall, I forget exactly how tall he was, Brother Hawk, but he was a good 2.5 foot taller than you, weighed 450 to 480 pounds. And then you have David over there, which is like a young Ryan Rivest. Picking on Ryan because I just can today. You look at the comparison. But what did David do, Brother Hawk? it said David hasted and ran towards his objective. He ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. You see, David's courage in all of this should convict all of us, because so many times I believe that when God has called us into areas in our lives, we don't have that same enthusiastic drive. We want to sit back. We want to evaluate. God's called us to go here or do this or to do that. Go talk to this person. And we sit back and we want to psychoanalyze everything before we make our move. We may be sitting in church and somebody puts a brother or a sister on our heart. And it comes altar and you notice they come up here and they're crying and they're weeping. And we say, okay, God, I know I've been thinking about them all through service, but, you know, I'm not so sure if now's the right time. Maybe they need to talk to you a little bit longer. So I'm not going to look at a clock, but when I look at the clock, if it's 11:28, then I'll go pray with them. Really? When you've been thinking about this all through service, what do you think, where did these thoughts come from? Sometimes we try to take and we look at where God is calling us. Maybe God's calling you into a deeper level of ministry or calling you into ministry. And we try to sit back and analyze everything. When God is just saying, listen, all you got to do is run. I got you. I got you covered. I don't call people to just fall on their face in failure. Now, you may have failures. Doesn't mean it's the end of everything just because you fail one time. If that was the case, you would have crawled in here today and not walked in here, because I'm assuming that at least 100% of us at least fell once during the process of going from crawling to walking. You got up. You were determined you're going to do this thing. So David's courage, he squared off and he ran towards his enemy without fear. As Christians, we've got to move through our life and we cannot look back at what used to be. We have to have the attitude of Apostle Paul. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press, I push. At times I have to power my way through toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So we've got to put our past behind us. This is something that so many of us struggle with, because we like to hold on to those issues in our past. And you know why you like to hold on to issues in your past? Because you've allowed those issues in your past to define who you are. That's just a thought out there. We allow those to define. We like to hold on to grudges. We like to have that leverage over people. We got to put the past behind us, or we're never going to move forward. You're never going to move forward. And this is just a real Holy Ghost thought. You remember Wednesday night we talked about Israel. Everyone that was 20 years and older didn't make it in because of their unbelief. Why did they not make it in because of their unbelief? Because they refused to put the past behind them. And God says, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove you from the equation. Now, you may say, so God's just going to take and pull me right out and remove me? Yep, he just may do that. He took a whole generation of Israelites and did it, so what makes you think you're so special? Put your past behind you. Past failures, you know what? Past failures. Not every failure in my past was just a catastrophic failure. I've learned a lot from failures. We need to learn from our failures as well. Put the past behind you. Don't forget everything, but move forward. Failed relationships. Sometimes we define ourselves based upon failed relationships. You know, you're going to have relationships in your life that come and go, that some relationships will last you your whole lifetime, and other people, they come into your life, they go out of your life. We got to get over your guilt. Sometimes we feel guilty and we can't get over our guilt, over guilt about our past failures and our past mistakes. You just got to get over. That's where it goes back to that battling with the flesh. Most of the battles that we ever battle are going to be with this flesh. And you feel guilty about things. We read in Colossians 2:13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So if you harbor thoughts and feelings towards other people, get over it. Forget about it. Move on. You got to talk to them, talk to them. Don't go into 2018 carrying all of this garbage that you've been carrying all this past year, 2017. You don't have to do that. "This is then the message which you have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we're lying and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. That's 1 John 1:5-10, 1 John 2:2. You see, church, we have to press toward the prize. We have to press towards that vision. We have to press towards that calling and answer a high calling of God. And in order for us to answer a high calling from God, we cannot answer a calling from God if we continue to live a level of low life living. It just won't work. It won't work. We have to strive for spiritual excellence. Then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Basically, what Paul is saying here to the church of Galatia is that, you know what? There's going to be a constant battle in your life between the flesh and the Spirit. It's going to be endless. It's going to be relentless. And you have to conquer. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, and these are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings. That pretty much covers everything. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things... This is something that has bothered me for a long time. You ever have people say, "Well, the Bible says to judge not," and that's where they stop with that whole passage. "Lest you be judged, for by the judgment you judge others, you shall also be judged." They never go into all of that. They just take the first two words and judge not. Right here, the Word of God is saying, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things, what does it say? Shall not. Does it may say that they might be a possibility, because it determines on how they interpret the scripture? No, it says they shall not. I didn't write this, okay? It's not my heaven that you're going to. I didn't die on a cross for your sins, okay? I got no skin in this game when it comes to God and humanity, okay? I'm part of the problem, trying to be part of a solution. But my flesh, my sin, my nature is part of the problem. This is, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He wrote this. You got an issue with this, you need to take it up with him. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Ooh, that's a major, major, painful process right there. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This I therefore say and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry. Think about this. It says, be ye angry. Now, I've heard this a lot, that you got to be careful because anger is a sin. That's not quite true. I think there are some things that God wants us to be angry about. I think God wants us to be angry about our sin. But we can get so angry about our sin that we can sin in the process of being angry about our sin. Be angry and sin not. So that means if your neighbor borrows your snowblower and brings it back broken, the Bible says it's all right to get angry, but don't cuss the man out over it. Because then you enter into the sin not process. That's just a little bit of, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So that simply means if, you know, you need to make things right. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that labor work with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We're talking about being better this year than last year or years past. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. Let me just back up here a little bit, God. I got to be kind to everybody? Are you kidding me? Do you know who I sit next to at work? And that sister always tries to sit by me at church. Sometimes I move two or three times. Do I really have to be?
Yep.
Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Forgiving. Oh. Whoa. We may not get past this today. I don't know. Forgiving one another. Oh. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. E. That's a tough one. So that means if Brother Noah, if I got a problem with Brother Noah, you know what I need to do? I need to talk to Brother Noah about that. I don't need to go to Brother Brian. I don't need to go to Brother Brad. I don't need to go to anybody else. I need to go to Brother Noah and talk to Brother Noah about that misunderstanding that we have. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be anger and sin not. This is like really heavy-duty stuff here. But you know what? If we're going to win the world, if we're going to win our city, we got to win ourselves first. You're not going to take and go out there and storm this city and not have your own house in order. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, oh no, here we come with all of this other stuff again. Fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness. It means I can't covet Noah's pickup truck. Nope, it's his truck, it's not mine. Let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Man, this just keeps going on. This just gets harder and harder. Be ye therefore not partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, and walk as children of light. For ye were sometimes darkness. So there are times in our past, or times and maybe even present, that we're struggling with all of this stuff. Let it go. Let it go. We've got to let it go. Powerful people. You look at this. Powerful people embrace the grace that God gives to them, and they go forth and his might to destroy the strongholds that are around them. And they lay hold of victory. And they knock off the giants that are in their lives. You see, we have to understand the attacks of the adversary, the enemy, is always going to be attacking us. It's just a give me. You and I under attack. This is a war. The devil doesn't like us, and he's not playing games. His objective is to destroy us in any way that he can, so that ultimately it will keep out God's... He wants to break up. Tonight we're going to have this fellowship after service. I thought it was time to bring some food into the message again. We're going to have pizza, all right? We got 10 minutes to go, okay? And then you can go to Culver's or wherever you want to go, but... Maybe 15, but 20. By noon, okay? You'll be out of here by noon, I'm sure of that. When you think about all of this, fellowship, that's what the enemy seeks to destroy. The fellowship between you and God, your relationship between you and God, and the fellowship between you and the person sitting next to you on this seat. If he can break up that unity, if he can destroy the unity between a husband and a wife, he can destroy the unity in a family. He can destroy the unity in a family. He can destroy the unity in a church. And if he can destroy the unity in the church, then he can destroy the church. You see, this is how this all works. So we're under attack. And the enemy is going to attack us with lust of the flesh. Food can be lust of the flesh. We don't talk about gluttony much, do we? You You know what gluttony is, Brother Hawk? This is how I term gluttony is when you're eating and you don't really need to eat. That's going to the salad bar and then going back to the salad bar, and just because it's all you can eat for $5.99, you're going to get $45 worth of salad out of that $5.99 salad bar. That's gluttony. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about this coming up in January. We're going to hit this pretty hard about how we treat our bodies. Little precursor to this, you know, we can take and pray that God would heal us of whatever condition we have. God, heal me. Please, God, heal me. And God says, you know what? I didn't design your body to work and function with what you're putting in it. Mountain Dew really isn't healthy, guys. I'm starting with myself, okay? I'm not gonna start messing with anybody else's plate until my plate's, okay? And I've thought about all of this. I could put grape juice in it, and it tastes awesome. You know what else tastes really good with Mountain Dew? Peach, mango, and apple juice. But you know the bottom line is it's still Mountain Dew. It's still in there. The ingredients are still in there. Brittany tells me that all the time. Lust of the flesh could be more than just food. Lust of the eyes. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. They sing that song in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go, for the Father up above is looking. Some of you laughing at me for this. Did I say something wrong over there, guys? Got to be careful. Pride of life, material things in our lives. We can get so caught up with the haves and the have-nots. So the giants in our lives, they're big. Yes, they can be big. They can be bad. Also understand that they can be blocking you from your blessing. What are some of those giants? The giant of sexual temptation. Satan challenged us to indulge in our lusts outside of a God-ordained boundaries of marriage. Nowadays, it's just like, whatever you feel like doing, just do it. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't affect me and my household. I don't care. But that's the problem, is it does affect you and your household. You don't think some of these things, all this transgender and all these, I was talking with someone the other day and they said they've identified, I believe it was 64 different types of genders now. Am I correct on that? I forget who I was talking to, but I was like, what? Where do they get that? 64? Are you kidding me? Only two. Really, I mean, he created ye male and female. I'm sorry. You say, well, you know, it doesn't bother me any. Well, yeah, you better be careful. You better be careful, because if the right laws are passed, then that means we're going to have bathrooms that anybody and everybody can go into. So don't say it's not going to affect you. Giants of alcohol and drugs. I've seen whole lives, families destroyed. Giant of pride. We talked about that a little already. The giants of peer pressure and conformity. The giant of materialism. The giants of anger and conflict. You know, some people just live their lives angry. I hate being around people that are always angry about something. I'm just telling you, if you wonder why the pastor is avoiding you at times, it's because every time we talk, you're mad about something or somebody. I'm just giving you a heads up. Is that wrong of me to think that way? There's nothing worse to come in to have to preach and know what you're going to be saying and know what you're going to be talking about. And one of those individuals comes up to you and they want to talk, like right now. I don't want to talk right now. I have to talk now. I don't want to talk right now. We hang our head, we twiddle our thumbs like, oh boy, here it comes. anger and conflict. You see, as long as we have allow these things to have power over us, they're going to control us. And every giant that stands up against you, God has given you the power and the authority to knock it down. Tonight, we're going to go into the five stones, the five weapons that God has given us, the power. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You see, David tried on Saul's coat of armor, and it didn't fit. And they were not going to be the function, what he needed for that fight. You see, David was a shepherd. He wasn't a soldier. If you could stand, and if our musicians can come. He went with what he knew. And I just want to say this because so many years of my life, I didn't think I was prepared for what God had called me to do, Brother Hawk. And I used that as an excuse not to do it. And God was trying to tell me and get through to me that I'm the one that does the preparing. You just need to go. So many times we think, I'm not good enough, I'm not perfect enough, I'm not prepared enough. Listen, if you follow that line of thinking, you will never, ever, ever, ever achieve any spiritual goals nor those physical goals that we have. There's nothing wrong with having a goal to be the best in your company, the top salesman, the top whatever, as long as it's in perspective. There's nothing wrong with having goals that aren't just church and God related. He was a shepherd, not a soldier, and he went with what he knew, and he put his trust in the power of God to prevail. We've got to understand that the enemy of our souls, he put special attention to us as Christians who are attempting to move in the right direction. You're going to be a target to him. So as we move into 2018, you may begin to feel a spiritual pressure or backlash from the enemy in your life. And I have found out that the last 6 months of my life have been really, really a hard go. Why? Because I feel that I'm getting closer and closer and closer to a personal breakthrough level in my life. And the resistance is getting harder and harder and harder and harder. My own personal flesh is battling. Yeah, I'm human too. I'm not perfect. We fight. Lord, I told you that whatever price I would have to pay, I'd be willing to pay it. But Lord, I don't know if I can do this right now. So begin to have this conflict. Listen, church, I don't want to coast. I don't want to coast into the next year. I don't want to just cope with my problem. I want to conquer it. I want to conquer it. So I want to open up this altar area up front. If you're tired of coasting in your life, whatever it may be, I'm not here to judge you. I don't know what's going on in your life. If you're tired of coasting, you're tired of coping with just living from day to day, and you want to be a conqueror, I just want to invite you to come down here to the front this morning and say, you know what, God? There's more in me than what's coming out of me. We fight with that a lot. I'll be the first to tell you, I know there's a whole lot more in Roy Grant than what's coming out of Roy Grant. And we fight with that. If you're battling the same old sins over and over and over again, you're never going to get any further in God than the pull and the hole that sin has on your life. It's not going to happen.